And welcome to the Tuesday, September 23rd edition of the Investigative Journal in this year of 2008. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. You're listening to LibertyRadioLive.com. My guest today is Pastor Tony Alamo, and he's here to discuss the recent raid on his ministry that happened a couple days ago, where over 100 federal agents stormed one of his churches. But before we get to that story, I wanted to bring up something that happened in the past. And this was years ago in New York. And let's just listen to this story and then compare it to what's happening to Pastor Alamo. I had on my show a New York police detective who was investigating pedophilia in New York City during the 70s. At that particular time, he led an investigation which led to the doorstep of Cardinal Spellman in New York. And he had, in fact, had a boy who was molested by Spellman and actually had Cardinal Spellman's shoes. And the boy was ready to testify regarding this case. Now, not only that case, but many other high-level pedophilia cases led right to the doorstep of Cardinal Spellman. However, when Jim Rothstein, this fine detective who's been on my show many times, went to District Attorney Morgenthau in New York, who is, in fact, still the district attorney there, he covered the case. Never anything was brought against Spellman, and in fact, they led an outright investigation against Jim Rothstein, and in the end, guess what happened to him? He was told to leave the department or he'd be killed. That simple. Now, let's fast forward that to Pastor Tony Alamo. Over the 40 years that Pastor Alamo has had his ministry, one of the main things he's done is he has talked like the Protestant reformers. He's talked against the Antichrist in Rome, and because of that, I believe that these allegations today, just like they have been over the years, if you look back at his history, they are basically trying to silence him. And I've brought Pastor Alamo on today to tell his side of the story and to find out exactly what happened in the last couple of days. Pastor, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing real good. You sound in great form, too, yourself.
Well, you know, it's just amazing to me when I see this happening. And is it a coincidence that, you know, the Vatican and its agents attack people who are attacking them? It's amazing to me. And when anything is brought up against them, listen, I've had nuns on my show, and every who have said they've been molested by priests, and every time they try to get an investigation, guess what happens? It gets shut down by the authorities. And I want to know why. What do you think?
Well, I mean, they're the ones that are in charge of pornography in the United States and the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's no possible way that people could be able to run these nudie shows and all these porn things on television and throughout the world if there was a decent government. Government would clamp down on that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would think that if a person was guilty of some kind of a crime, such as pornography, that they'd be able to come up with at least one picture.
Mm-hmm.
The only pictures they have are like maybe pictures of of myself, and I'm fully clothed. I'm not standing there in the nude.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's the same thing. I've been attacking the Vatican for murdering babies, and I just heard a thing on your program there where it says, you know, if you've got a mongoloid child or somebody like that, there's a lot of people that would like to take care of them and nurture them. Don't kill your baby. In other words, it's okay if you kill them. This is the filthy, rotten Vatican government that we're living in today. And the Bible said it would be this way, that they'd make that which is good evil, and that which is evil good. And that's where we're at right now. Everything that's okay is good. Everything that is evil is okay today. I mean, you can have your children murdered at what they call an abortion parlor. You could have your children, you could let them live. It's up to you whether you can murder or not. that it's all right for them to have pornography all over the place, but no one else. We don't have any pornography. You'd think that if they're going to bring charges against me, they'd have at least one nude picture of somebody. We don't have any nude pictures of anybody on that our property. And we don't have any people transporting girls across state lines for money or anything. As I've told you before, I own a Beatles album that was given to me by Pete Best because I did his promotion. He didn't have any money, so he said, I'll give you an unreleased Beatles album that's worth $100 million. Well, I have not sold that just to let people know that I'm not in the business of I wouldn't use that pornographic group to make money with. Back then, before I was saved, I took that album in lieu of money. But even now, as badly as we need money down to the years, I never sold that Beatles album. And now all of a sudden they say I'm going to go into pornography, that I am a pornographer. And it's all based on people that I've thrown out of the church because they wanted to take drugs or be a homosexual, or they got caught having sex. We're a very clean, holy church, and there's a lot of churches that will let people get by with that, but they're not churches in my mind. God is going to have one church on this earth, at least one. I know we have churches all over the world. We have in Africa, India, Philippines, and that's easily checked. But one of the things that I'm very happy about is every time one of these sorts of persecutions happen, our popularity becomes much higher. Like, for instance, yesterday we got over 1 million hits on our website, and there's so many hits coming through that the website is moving very, very slow. We've never had that many hits on our website before. It usually runs between 80, 90, 220 to 330,000 hits. This is like 1,250,000 hits yesterday. So people, they're reading the website to see what we're all about. And so, you know, every time the devil, which is in human beings like the Pope and the government and also the media at large, they always outsmart themselves. They think that it's going to, you know, people are not going to want. But they've heard me, Susie and myself, preaching the gospel for Susie 17 years and myself around 44 years. So they know that we don't condone any prostitution or child molestation or any stuff like this, pornography. It's ridiculous. Yeah, that's just such a ridiculous charge. It's not even worth answering.
And you know, before I do want you to explain to people what happened in a couple of days ago. But let me just mention this. When I first heard about you, I've heard from the first article I remember reading was the same thing happening to you years ago. And this isn't the first time they've raided you for these charges. And at that particular juncture, I started to look into your story and ran across the FBI agent who was assigned by the authorities to basically find bogus charges on you. And this man, John Peeler, because of you, you were his last victim, so to speak, because he tried to find everything under the sun to nail you, and he couldn't. And finally, he even mentioned to his, he was working with the FBI at the time. He said, well, I can't find anything on him. He's clean. And so you're probably just going to have to do tax evasion charges and just trump up the case, which they did. Peeler since has come forward stating exactly what the authorities were trying to do to you, how they tried to frame you years ago. And because of that, he'd been persecuted. And his son now sits in a jail on a bogus charge of murder, when they first tried to pin a murder charge on him for leaving the FBI and telling the truth. Now, I'm asking my listeners. I've had Peeler on the show. You can go back to my archives, and I can get him on. And in fact, I'll get him on later this week to talk about this. But this should lay some evidence in the fact that Mr. Lam was telling the truth. And all these stories are really an intention to silence him, just like they silence anybody else that has a following like his who preaches the true word of God. Now, secondly, I want to mention this. The one interesting thing about this story was I read an article, and somebody found out that they were planning this raid in October. I don't know if you read this. And they said the reason that the raid came in this time was that someone in the FBI leaked this story to over 50 news agencies. Now, what the heck is the FBI doing? Are they in the business of propaganda? I think so. That's an interesting fact to the story. So they had to do it in September because of a leak, unauthorized, to 50 news organizations. So you have this kind of combination of news organizations and the FBI basically assassinating your character even before you've had a chance to prove your innocence. Amazing story. What do you
think?
Right. You heard that, didn't you?
We never find out that they're going to do something until we read it in the press. I was wondering, why are they? We've never been charged with pornography before, and we've never been. We were charged with child abuse, but they dropped those charges after there was egg all over their face for blowing it. They raided our place in Los Angeles and made 100 police officers and BATF and FBI and all these people. And they made the little girls and boys take their clothes off. And they've never heard of such thing, and they were using such vulgar language with these little kids, and there was not one mark on them. They were in better health. They said, some of them actually fessed up and said these were the healthiest looking kids and the most sensible kids in the world because we haven't trained them with this world government garbage. But getting over to this this raid the other day is over 100 of them converged on our property in that little reprobate town. Those the people over there are like very low life, very ignorant and stupid redneck garbage. That just, you know, and the Lord tells people that people that don't believe the gospel are like garbage. They're like chaff. And so I'm not getting out of line by mentioning the things that God said. And the prosecutor, so far, they asked him just yesterday, where's the indictment? Do you have an indictment against Mr. Lamo or Pastor Lamo? And he says, no comment. They haven't even talked to me. They never called me on the phone. They just came in there. And they were with machine guns, ski masks. They were dressed in black with these black ski masks on. And they vaulted over a fence because we have a couple of little horses there and a couple of dogs, little dogs, a cocker spaniel and one of those little shih tzu dogs. And they're just little tiny dogs. And so they jumped over this with machine guns in their hands while the little children were out there playing, and they scared life out of them. And then they took six of them into custody, little girls, and they haven't found anything. Don't you know if they found that any of those girls were not virgins or if they were just happy little girls? And the boys are separated because we don't want any incidents of sex or anything on our church properties. And we've done that for years. At first, we didn't, and there was too much mingling with boys and girls there, and some promiscuous things were going on, but we separated them, and we put the bad ones out, and we still do. And, of course, they're the ones that are helping the government bring false charges, because they bring false charges against us because they're upset because we won't let them move back in. I won't let them in. And they're just you know, it's so hard to explain, but the very truth is the best explanation. I've never in my entire life been arrested for sex crimes. I've always been into making finances, doing promotions for different singers, actors, and also even buy just products, household products that everybody knows the name of. And I've just been really busy earning money. And then in the ministry, I'm about thousands of times more busy than I ever was before I was saved. I do between 1 and 6 radio programs a day. I write literature. I'm involved in still in recordings. Just did a bunch of recordings with the Prague Symphony Orchestra. We did 15 songs so far with them. And I'm going to be recording with the London Symphony Orchestra if you know, they don't put me in jail on false charges again. And I'm just a real productive type person. I don't think at all about sex or anything. I don't think of anything like that or selling such lewd products. And so they raided. They went into my bedroom. They knocked down my. See, my I have a room in that office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us what happened. How long? So you get these 100 guys coming in ski masks with machine guns on a congregation of churchgoers, and what happened then?
Well, see, no, but these porn parlors—they're not raided, or these first-degree murder parlors are not raided. They'll put you in jail if you ever even lay a finger to them. There's some people that didn't want these babies to be killed. And so they lay themselves down in the path of the abortion parlors or first-degree murder parlors, and they put them in jail. But when they come raiding churches, these bastards are the ones that are condoning these things. This is all coming from the Pope in Rome. And you know it, and I know it, and there's hundreds of millions of people that know that these days. And so they're, you know, like grasping at a straw, trying to destroy the person that has been exposing them the most, not only on my radio broadcast, but in 40 different languages so far, maybe 40, 50 languages, and all over the world in my messages on the printed messages. They've been for years attempting to shut us down. And even though they put me away for 4 years on false tax charges, I still came out fighting. And they're never going to stop me from fighting until they put a kill me or put a bullet in my head. That's probably what they're planning. That's why they came in with machine guns. Because if I would have been there, which I wasn't, and I would have said, hey, stop that. Quit doing this to these children. They probably would have murdered me right there. Because you can. Then they took a bunch of the children, 6 of those little children in, and they've had them for over 72 hours now. And they won't let their parents have them. And they say, if they would have gotten one evidence from them, they would have said, we found these, it'd be on the news already, that we found these girls were not virgins. They were like 8, 9 years old, and 6 years old. They would have done that. They would have had some kind of an indictment on me. But instead of that, they say, "Where's the indictment? What has he done?" And they say, "No comment." It's like the brute bastards, brute to the mass in Italian, brute to the mass.
Yeah, and
you know, we're really this people. It's too late. The government has been taken over. The world has been taken over by these actual Catholic communist bastards. And, you know, what can anyone do but really pray to the Lord? And we're still preaching the gospel. We had services there at that church last night. And we are not stopping. Our people are on the streets. They're in Houston right now with all those people that escaped the New Orleans thing. And they're distributing literature like crazy. We had services in our church in Los Angeles. There was about 50 squad cars over there at that little hick town of Falk. And,
that's in Arkansas where this occurred, right? Yeah. Go ahead.
Right, Falk, Arkansas, right near Texarkana. And they've never seen anything like that. You don't see anything like that in New York. 100 squad cars, hundreds of officers, and everything like that. And then that happened again in Los Angeles. They had FBI. It was the first time that they said that anyone. I was in the state court defending this child abuse charge they had on me, which they later dropped because they had egg all over their face again.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
go ahead.
And here comes the federal government with 100 people, and they took me right out of the middle of that trial in the state court for child abuse, which was a false charge, and then they took me down to the federal building and slapped the Internal Revenue Service charge on me. And there was no way they wouldn't let us testify in the courtroom. They wouldn't let me bring in my witnesses. All they had was a bunch of paid witnesses to testify against me. So, were you going to say something? I thought you were.
Well, you know what I was going to say, right, going into the break. I wanted to say this just for people out there that don't know me. I have a law degree, worked in Los Angeles and other places on criminal cases, many different things with lawyers there. And one of the things I learned long ago was that the cases against these really hardened criminals, for example, I can think of three or four of them I'm familiar with, hard drug dealers that were higher up in the chain, somehow these never make the newspaper, and they go scot-free. Then all of a sudden you'll see a case against a woman who, when California passed their three strikes law, I began to research it and found that there are people spending their life in jail for maybe small drug offenses and then stealing some food in a 7-Eleven, maybe a bottle of 7-Up or something. And I knew a woman that spent 15 years in jail for that. Now, when you look at your case, here's the way I look at it legally. They have no case on you, but they want to try you, convict you, in the court of public opinion. And they did it very masterfully in a sense where they basically contacted 50 news agencies. Then they come there as if it's a raid on a group of hardened criminals, over 100 FBI agents. And people, your tax money is being wasted on this kind of stuff. And the reason is they want to silence this man because of his views on the Bible. And it is that simple, and it goes back to the same principle. This war, the Vatican wages, is not a personal attack, but it's an attack on the authority of God and those who represent him. And that's what I believe has happened here. And you've already been tried, convicted, according to them, in the court of public opinion, because there are going to be many Americans out there. All of a sudden it appears on AOL. It appears on news channels. And this is a story that when we get right down to it, I will bet there's no evidence, nothing so ever legally, to convict this man. And here he has to go now up against this beast one more time. And this isn't the first time, people. So I want you to listen carefully, because you could be next. And that's the way I feel about it, Pastor. And got a couple seconds here before the break. I want to come back and talk about that. But my heart goes out to you for this again. And I don't know how you, like I said once before, I've listened to your story and seen what they've done to you over the years. And I don't know how you always come back stronger. Can you explain that?
Well, because I have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I've been especially called by the Lord. I'm anointed, I said, because I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, we'll be back in 3 minutes, okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States in 1963.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President today.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? But I'm never gonna lose your precious gift. It will always be there. Well, baby. Okay, we are back with Pastor Tony Alamo, and hopefully we're getting a independent, some independent news source, like myself, trying to get to give the real side to this story. Because if one of the sad things about Tony's story, if you just tuned in, his ministry was raided by over 100 FBI agents dressed in black masks and carrying machine guns. And this isn't the first time. And if you go through all the news articles, and I had a chance to do that late last night, they're all the same. I mean, there's no independent reporting here. This is obviously an orchestrated effort, and I believe it's obvious that those that are accusing him are either CIA spooks working inside and the Vatican behind the whole thing. And if you don't believe me, think about Jim Jones and James and Jonestown, the CIA connections. He wasn't a cult leader, but a carefully crafted CIA operative. Look at Waco. This shows how Catholic extremist criminals orchestrated the mass murder of the Branch Davidians there. And there's other examples. Tony, another person. And you know, one of the interesting things is anyone that criticizes the Vatican in a position like Pastor Alamo, who has a lot of followers, and he's been doing it for 40 years, basically sees their wrath. And it's interesting to see how he handles it, never always coming out stronger than he was prior to it. And I find that interesting, Pastor Lamo. Go ahead.
Right. And another thing, too, that I like about it so much is that it has made us famous. I mean, we had yesterday over 1,250,000 hits on our website. And so they've made me infamous or famous, one of the two. And every time they do that, it's just our congregation increases because people look at the website, they can see that the things that they're saying are not true, false. And so this has happened so many times in our ministry. We've been raided. They're trying to muffle us, to stop us, do anything in their power, and to me, it doesn't bother me a bit because, you know, the Apostle Paul, stated that, you know, when these things happen to you, shout and jump for joy because the prophets that were before song to him. I like it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I want a lot more. Persecute me, you bunch of bastards. I love it. I like it. I want a lot more of it. I actually revel and enjoy this sort of stuff. But because it gives me a platform to tell the people what this bunch of devils is and where it's coming from Rome, Italy. And the reason that you people in the United States have been taken over is because you don't believe it. All your industry is gone, you idiots. Your industry is gone. You're homeless. The economy is collapsing now. It's all a planned thing to happen to take over the country without firing a shot. This is what the Catholic communists have been saying for years. You're over with, you people out there, because you're too stupid, too ignorant, and you're following the doctrines of the Antichrist beast. And the Bible says that, Antichrist is just not. It's one body of millions of people. And everyone that follows them is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Because it's the same thing as receiving the mark of the beast. Or receiving, you're saying that you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness in this world or in the world to come. So if I were you people, I'd get on my knees. First of all, I'd start reading the Bible, and then I would repent. Repenting means not just to say the sinner's prayer, but it means that the Spirit of God enters into you and you begin doing the work of the Lord. Now, the mystery of God, it says in 1 Timothy, is that God is living in human flesh. He started out with Jesus. He was the first one that had the Holy Spirit in him. He was the first God-man. And then the rest of us have to manifest God, or the Lord Jesus Christ, in ourselves by the Spirit living in us. And if you don't do that, well, then you're not a Christian. And it's like President Kennedy was saying, people that are afraid of controversy, people that are afraid to say the truth. I'm glad that there's people like Greg Szymanski and others that, we were on the interview with just yesterday or the night before with this woman from Chicago. FBI agent John Peeler was on there with me.
Oh, good.
And I beg your pardon?
I said good, because we've had him together with you on this show, too.
Yes, amen. Do you know who that woman is in Chicago? She mentioned your name.
Oh, boy, I'm trying to think. I can't think of her name right now.
But she's
talking about. Yeah, I can't think of her name because I remember talking to her years ago, but yeah, she knew who I was. Yeah, okay. She probably got John's.
A real freedom fighter, also.
Right.
But, I'm a freedom fighter, and I also want people to be saved. And that's, she has no objection. You have no objection. As a matter of fact, I believe you're born again of the Spirit yourself. And, that's what I'm all about. So the more controversy that there is, the more people are looking at me and saying, who is this devil? You know, and so when they get close to my website or they get into it, and then they start talking to me, they start listening more, and they get saved. And so this is some of the things that we have to go through because of the fact that the Spirit of God is living in us. We, as President Kennedy said, we cannot run away from controversy. Of course we're controversial because we're the exact opposite of these people in the world that have not yet been born again of the Spirit. And we're the exact opposite of these demon-possessed people that run the government, so such as the Pope, the world government, and the media at large. They're doing everything they can to fight us. But the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand in people like myself, for sure. I can speak for myself, and I can speak for those of you that are really allowing me to say these things, and you're saying the same thing too. So, you know, I gotta believe that you're born again.
But you know, one of the interesting things, looking back at some of the things you've done, one of the people that I've followed and tried to understand what he was all about was Alberto Rivera, the former Jesuit priest who was killed by the same people we're talking about. And I've had his wife on my show, and you were one of the first people to put him up when he came to America. You allowed him to speak. You gave him an open forum, and that must have ticked off the Vatican, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we put him up at our house. We had this big 18,000-square-foot home on top of George Ridge. We built it out of I paid $9,000 for a steel building. We erected it and then made it look like it was a big mansion. And he and his wife stayed there with us. And then when they put Alberto in prison, put him in jail, I bailed him out in Los Angeles. His wife called, scared to death. She said the Jesuits have him in prison. So I went down there and got him out. And, you know, paid for it. He didn't have any money at the time. And we know Alberto very well. He visited me in prison just not long before he died or got killed, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then his son visited us and his wife, too, in Fouts. They've been in that house that they just raided. And put them up. And they wanted me to take all of Alberto's things that he hadn't published and for me to be able to put them out myself. And I said it was agreeable to do it, but I guess he's been under some persecution too, and I've been really busy and just barely able to get the things that we have out, but we've been getting them out on a consistent basis. I come up with anywhere from 1 to 6 hours of radio tape every day, and I'm writing new literature, and that's why where I stay busy. I don't go around children's play parks lurking for little children. I'm not peeping into your wife's bathroom. I'm not. One, I just did a interview just a few minutes before you this morning with a guy named Big Daddy from Los Angeles, I believe it was. And I told his assistant, I said, watch out. Now, for me, the last thing I said is, I might be looking through your bedroom window. And she started laughing hilariously. People don't believe this stuff. It's unreal. It's a bunch of people that don't even know they're alive yet. They're going to wake up one of these days saying, oh, my God, I was alive at one time. And they're going to be standing before the judgment bar of God. Time goes so fast, it's just unbelievable. And they're going to be so sorry that they didn't pay more attention to the spiritual things in this world than they do the carnal things. They see it like sports and music and all kinds of things like that, and paid little or no attention to the gospel. And everything that the Bible says that would be happening in these last days is happening. And I just can't understand why people, they're so distracted from the Bible.
Well,
so
you know,
anyway, with this raid, they went through everything in my bedroom.
Tell me, let's get back to that. So what happens, they enter your place, they take these kids into custody, and these kids haven't seen their parents since, have they?
No.
Okay.
But what they did is they also, on top of that, they spent all day and all night in my house, in my office, in the school over there, and they did everything in their power to find one shred of any kind of evidence, and they haven't come up with it. Why would they want to raid somebody if they weren't so crazed with the idea of stopping my mouth? Why would they spend all this time doing these things when they have no shred of evidence, with the exception of the testimony of a bunch of disgruntled people because I put them out of the church?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
all they're going on. It's just some liars. When people lie, I even put them out. If they tell just bald-faced lies and they don't stop lying, and they put false reports on people, I put them out. We just can't have that around the church. God is going to have a church on this earth. And so those are, I believe that they believed some of those backsliders. And if that's what they did, well, they're going to have egg all over their face because these people will not be credible in court.
Yeah, and so what do you expect? So they spend a day and a night at your house in Arkansas. They leave. Now what's going on? Anything that you've heard since the raid?
Like they said, they didn't find anything. They tore my bedroom apart. They went through every book, all my papers. They took the computers that were in the office. I don't run computers at all because I'm legally blind. If I was into pornography, what good would that be? I can't even see it.
Oh, my God.
They think I'm somebody else. I'm 74 years old, and, you know, I just turned 74. They did this on purpose on my birthday. They've done stuff like that down through the years.
I have to think, what when all these stories came out, I'm thinking to myself, what does... I know Clinton probably heard about it, and he was one of the first to try to shut you up. And I remember the whole story with Peeler telling me what where the orders really came from in Arkansas, and at that time it was Clinton. And I'm wondering, he's probably having a good laugh over this, don't you think?
Yeah, but he can laugh out of the other side of his mouth because I think he has a poor bypass. The Lord jacked him up pretty good with his heart condition. And I think he knows, he's seen down through the years that they've never, except with that IRS jacked up thing that they have, that they're never going to really do me any harm whatsoever. And even if I went to prison, even if they cut my head off like they did the Apostle Paul, or nailed me to a cross upside down like they did Peter, or right side up like they did Jesus, they're not going to stop me. They might as well forget about that because I know them too well. I know those weasels, and I know the Lord. And the Lord, I'm so afraid of God that there's no possible way that I would ever stop. The Bible says that if we don't fear God, we'll never serve the Lord. Well, I fear him with all my heart and soul because he proved to me that he was in heaven. And he was telling me he's going to pull the breath out of my body, and he started doing it. And that really panicked me because I was never afraid of anything or death or anybody, man, woman, or beast, and until that happened to me. And then when he started doing that to me, I was grumbling like a little... flaky person, and everybody's going to be groveling before his feet one of these days when they get up there before him, because he does exist, and they're really going to be groveling, and it won't do them any good because only what we do in this world, we're going to be judged by everything we do in this world. And then people, if they haven't done good, he's not going to let them come back and try it again. They're going to have to be judged. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And some people say, but I just can't stop from sinning. No, you can't, because if they can't stop from sinning, then they've never asked the Lord to enter into them. They don't have the power of God in them. And God wants to live in us so that he can show that we have the power to resist persecution, and that we can resist false allegations, character assassinations, prisons, beatings, all the things that are false accusations, false persecution. We can put up with that. I'm as strong as a stinking, stronger than a grizzly bear. They can't stop me unless they use a bullet.
And how does this affect some of the people at the ministry there?
I've taught them to be strong. They're strong too. They they held services after this and were busy putting my bedroom door back on.
They knocked on your bedroom door?
yeah, they knocked it down. And they're putting back my papers best they can. And they're fixing the computers. They pulled all the plugs out. Yeah, they're just doing everything to make try to intimidate people, make them afraid. I mean, they're the Gestapo. You better not do your work, you know, we'll hang you.
And that's exactly what it sounds like to me. And that's what
they don't bother me. I'm not bothered. Get out of my face.
You know, and I hope your story, I mean, when people go to your website and those who understand the real role of the beast in this world, I hope people, at least my hope is that they begin to read the Bible a little more closely and also begin to look at how our government is connected with the beast. And perhaps by that, your story will serve more good than bad, and I only hope that many people that look at this don't just kind of listen to the media and just indict you even before you've even had a chance to, you know, without any evidence against you. And that's my hope. And perhaps it will bring some people. Maybe if it even brings one person closer to God, it's worth it, isn't it?
Oh, it's brought many, many people closer to God. It's unreal what's happening in our ministry. It's just like magnifying so fast that it's unbelievable. And what they're doing is making a martyr out of me, and they know that that's a no-no. Anytime they say they don't want a martyr, they want, and so they're trying to stack the deck, and every time they try to, they get egg all over their face because there isn't anyone in the church that they can get that can say anything that we've done this out of the order of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? We got
to
go ahead.
They said, well, you say that polygamy is of the Lord. And I says, well, it is. I'll offer anybody $1 million cash if you can find any place in the Bible where God condemns polygamy. I said, Abraham had many wives. Jacob had four wives. And the sons that came from those four wives, their names are over the gates in the kingdom of heaven. So God exalts it. Gideon had 70 sons, and doesn't even mention the daughters. David had many wives, and God told him in the Bible that anyone, if you, why did you commit adultery? Committing adultery is having sex with somebody else's wife. He says, with all the wives I've given you, I've given you the wives of Saul, I've given you the daughters of Saul, King Saul, and I've given you the daughters of Judah and of Israel. Why, he says, did you commit adultery with this man's one wife? He says, you could have had all the wives you wanted. Then his son Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And he's not, he never went to hell for that, but what he did was he started marrying women that were unbelievers, and the Bible says to not be yoked together with unbelievers. Now, why anybody would want a lot of wives is more than I know, unless they're very busy in the ministry and they need help. That would be like concubines to help out. But certainly no underaged females. They have to reach puberty before they ever are able to have sexual relationships with a man. This woman, she was a girl, but she was married to Joseph. She was espoused to him. Well, they didn't have any sexual relationship. She was a virgin when Jesus was born. And so she reached puberty at about the age of 10 to 14. That's when she had Jesus. That's history. And then also Isaac was married to Rebekah in the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaac had was 40 years old when he married Rebekah at 10 years old. And there's people, I know a lot of people that their grandmothers were married at 10 and 12 years old because they had reached puberty. The people in the world have been brain damaged. They just think that the Bible is evil and that they're good. They're out committing sex. The little kids in schools are having sex at 7, 8, and 9 years old, and the government is sponsoring that. And then the Vatican is having sex, oral and anal sex with little 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old altar boys. I mean, come on. It's like you were saying earlier in the program. Let's prosecute them. But there's nothing done about them whatsoever because they say we're God and we are not subject to the civil powers of this world.
All right.
Because we're God. We'll hate them.
You know, what we're going to, we've got about a minute left here, Pastor, and in the second hour, I'm going to play one of your messages that you broadcast on September 19th for the people out there. And I just want to say this, that we will keep in touch and have you on the show in the next couple of weeks and follow your story and really appreciate everything. Any last words here before we hear the music play?
No, I just pray that everybody believes the Bible and ask the Lord to enter into them, then they'll have the power to be able to go through all this crazy stuff that's happening on Earth.
Okay, Pastor Orlando, thank you very much, and talk to you again.
Thank you, Gracie.
Okay. We'll be back in 5 minutes after a news break.